Proverbs. Parked on the side of the road, waiting to catch speeding drivers, the state trooper sees a car puttering along at 22 miles per hour. Thinking that the driver is dangerous as a speeder, the state trooper turns on his lights and pulls the car over. As he approaches the vehicle, the officer notices there are five elderly ladies inside, two in the front seat and three in the back, wide-eyed and as white as ghosts. Driver, obviously confused, says, "Officer, I don't understand. I was going the exact speed limit. What seems to be the problem?" The trooper, trying to contain a chuckle, explained to her that 22 was the route number, not the speed limit. A bit embarrassed, the woman grins and thanks the officer for pointing out her error. "Before you go," the officer says, "I have to ask, is everyone in this car okay? These women seem awfully shaken." "Oh," she answered, "they'll be all right, sir. We just got off of Route 127. On the road of life, we don't always read the signs well. Sometimes we can be confused about how to get where we want to go. We find ourselves making decisions that affect us adversely, and we didn't know that they would have those consequences. Why is that the case? It's because we lack wisdom. We don't know what life is really about and how to navigate life. So we lack wisdom. In the book of Proverbs, we see that the book is written to help us with those kind of issues, to give us guidance and direction in life. Now, who wrote the book of Proverbs? Let's look at Proverbs chapter 1, verse 1, and we see there that these are the Proverbs of Solomon, David's son, king of Israel. Now, he is not the only writer of the book of Proverbs. As we'll look through this later, we'll see a couple other things. We'll see later that there are some men that Hezekiah appointed to record some Proverbs of Solomon. And that was in around 700 B.C. So we see that this book of Proverbs is a collection of Proverbs that were written. We don't know if Solomon hand wrote these, but we know that he spoke these, that he's the one that authored these Proverbs. Now, another portion here is there's a man named Agur and another named King Lemuel, and they also are added to the book of Proverbs and the Proverbs that he's written. Now, these are written for the wise and the simple. I think that covers everybody. The wise and the simple. Those who are simple are the ones that don't have much wisdom. They're naive. They don't understand. They're a lack of understanding. Then there's those who are wise. Of course, they have wisdom. They have understanding. But they can always use more. That's one of the aspects of a person who's wise. They never think they know it all and always willing to learn. So it's written for everybody in helping us to navigate life. And so what is wisdom is the question that would come to your mind. Now, one thing we know, it isn't being intelligent. Intelligence and wisdom are two different things. You can be very intelligent and yet lack wisdom. We're going through an explosion of knowledge, of information. You go on the web and you can just be there all day, every day, getting more information. Because as soon as you get information, there's more that comes out. It never ends. It's just a constant stream until you can get overwhelmed with information overload. So having intelligence or having knowledge These things are not the same as wisdom. In July 2006, the world-famous geneticist William French Anderson was convicted of child molestation charges. In a press conference, his attorney said, "Nothing about having an IQ of a 176 doesn't mean you have good judgment." Well, that's obviously true. So there are people who have, they're very intelligent, and they have a lot of knowledge. And there's voices behind me. Oh, okay. All right. There we go. We solved that mystery. Okay. So when a person is looking at this subject matter of wisdom, here's a definition I'd like you to keep in mind. There's some others that people have had, but I think this is a very good one. It is seeing and responding to life from God's perspective. It's seeing and responding to life's from God's perspective. Two aspects to wisdom. First, just seeing things from his perspective. But if you just see things from his perspective, you're not necessarily wise. It's in seeing and responding to wisdom, to life from God's perspective, makes you a wise person. Now, when we come to making decisions, a lot of times the decisions we make are based on how we grew up. So that when we come from a home where there is no father, there's gaps of information, and we tend to make decisions based on no information, and we act as though the way we were raised. If there's if you come from a home where there's a lot of conflict, and you want to start a home where there's no conflict, you might not know what to do. So a lot of times the decisions and the choices you make are based on how you grew up, or you might just go by how you feel about things, your instincts. And it seems right to me, it feels good to me, I think I'll do that. Now, if you've been around for any length of time, you know that that's not always a good way to make decisions. Because just because you feel good about it doesn't make it a good idea to do. So Proverbs actually says in 14:12, "There is a way that seems right to a man, but it ends in death." So you have to have something more reliable than that to have to make choices by. And the Bible says that if you go by your instincts or your natural inclinations or by your background only, you're not making a wise decision. You need to include God's wisdom, God's perspective on things. Now, how do you read the Proverbs? Well, I want to break this down. Chapters 1 through 9, that's the first part of the book of Proverbs, is a series of speeches, either from a father to his son or a character known as the woman of wisdom. It's wisdom as a metaphor, and it's seen as a woman speaking and giving insight and wisdom. So these speeches are directed to the young, or those who lack wisdom, and so in the first nine chapters, it's kind of a speech kind of setting. Then when you move to chapter 10, you again find that Solomon is the author, and he gives these proverbs. Now the proverbs are short statements, truth statements. And they are written in a poetry type, a Hebrew poetry type of format. Now, there are four different types of styles that are generally in the Hebrew poetry. And it's a form of parallelism where you have one line that parallels another line. But sometimes they're synonymous, meaning the second line parallels the thoughts of the first line. Or, number two, it can be antithetical, where the second line is the opposite or contrast to the first line. Or it can be emblematic, where a line illustrates the previous with a simile or metaphor. In other words, the first line will make a statement of truth, and the second line will use a picture of some object or some kind of thing that would explain the first one through an emblem or a picture of some kind. And then there's synthetic, which the second line continues the thought of the first line. So as you look at this poetry, you have to look at it from that perspective, seeing that there are different ways that these statements are written. Now, some of them are even use the alphabet, the Hebrew alphabet. At the end, where chapter 31, you have the godly woman, and every line is a different letter of the alphabet, which we wouldn't know because we don't have the Hebrew letters there. But so there's some different forms here, but you have to think that this is poetry, so it takes a little thought. That's one thing about poetry, it says a lot in a short phrase. So as you read it, you have to think about it. So it's written in a form so that you have to meditate on it, you have to think about it, and ask questions of that statement and how it applies. Now, these proverbs are not formulas of success. In other words, if you do this and this, then this happens and this takes place. It isn't set up that way, to where you just plug in and you work it. In fact, I think it's a general principle about the Proverbs is that you can't manipulate the Proverbs or organize them in such a way that they become a key for your life and you just plug things in a kind of mechanical way. Life doesn't work that way, and the Proverbs really don't work that way. They are truisms. They may not be true in all circumstances. So we find that the person who is wise, it says, will gain wealth. So if you're wise and you make this wise decision, you're going to be wealthy. Well, that isn't always the case. Sometimes being wise means you say no to wealth because making that decision to become wealthy may compromise your character. So it's an exception. There are exceptions to the Proverbs. You have to know what the context and the circumstances that where they fit. So it needs to be thought about and recognized there may be some the story of Joseph. In the Proverbs, it says, avoid the immoral woman and save your life. So what did he do? He avoided the immoral woman, ran out of there with no clothes, whatever. He ripped her robe off there, and he's thrown into prison. Well, he made the right choice, the wise choice, but he was thrown in prison. So he said, well, I followed the proverb, and it didn't work. You can't look at it that way. It is a general truism. It's not like the law itself, where it says, the law says, you shall not lie. You shall not steal. You should not commit murder. There's not exceptions to that. Those are laws. All circumstances, through all generations, God's law, moral law, is to be followed. But the wisdom literature here in Proverbs needs to be applied in the specific circumstances that they are to be applied to. Now, here's some general principles on how to get wisdom. How do I get wisdom? Number one, by observation and experience. These are general principles. A person who's not a believer can apply these and gain some wisdom. Proverbs chapter 6, verses 6 through 8. Want to turn there? Now, you've heard this if you've been around the Bible a very long time. This is very common understanding. It says, take a lesson from the ants, you lazy bones. Learn about their ways and be wise. Even though they have no prince, governor, or ruler to make them work, they labor hard all summer, gathering food for the winter. So here he has instructed this person to observe the ants. Watch them. It's by observing things that you gain wisdom. There are some people who are oblivious to the things around them, and they don't learn from anything. So one way to gain wisdom is to look and see what's going on, to observe things, and to look at the experiences of others. Look at the experience of the ant. Look at the experience of others, and you'll gain some wisdom. Okay, that's a general principle. Another general principle is by being taught by those who are wise. Proverbs 22, verses 17 through 21, it says this, listen to the words of the wise, apply your heart to my instruction, for it is good to keep these sayings deep within yourself, always ready on your lips. I am teaching you today, yes, you, so you will trust in the Lord. I have written 30 sayings for you, filled with advice and knowledge. In this way, you may know the truth and bring an accurate report to those who sent you. So in this portion of Scripture again, it says that being taught by those who are wise will give you wisdom. It's a source of wisdom. It's a way to gain wisdom. And the same principle can be restated like you need mentors in your life. Sometimes it's good to have someone who's been there before, who's gone ahead in life and has experienced things, and they can give you some tips and points about things that will help you avoid some of the pitfalls and the problems that other people have had. And so gaining insight, gaining wisdom, and being taught by those who are wise is one way to gain wisdom. Number three, learning from our mistakes. Learning from our mistakes. Proverbs 10:17 and Proverbs 12:1 says this, people who accepted correction are on the pathway to life, but those who ignore it will lead others astray. In Proverbs 12:1, to learn, you must love discipline. It is stupid to hate correction. Okay, now when you look at this, one of the ways of learning from our mistakes is the words that are tied to that experience is having correction and discipline. The word discipline can be also teaching, but it has teaching with warning of certain consequences. And so a person could be taught with certain consequences in mind, saying this is going to happen if you do these things, and then they do those things and they experience the discipline or the correction by the experience they have. So if you reject discipline, if you reject correction, then you're bound to repeat the things that you've done before. In other words, you will not learn from your mistakes. Therefore, you repeat the same things, and you wonder why your life is the way it is. You do the same things, maybe with a little more gusto this time, and you get the same results. And you're going, why is it this has always happened to me? Why is God doing this to me? What? You did it to yourself. You ever heard people say that? They make some real bonehead decisions, and you're going, oh, that was, don't do that. Well, why did this happen to me? And you're going, seriously, you're asking that question? Why did this happen to you? Didn't you just decide this and that? And they really don't. They don't get it. And they can't admit that they've made a mistake or they've done something wrong. Because of that, they can never learn. They'll never become wiser because they reject the teaching of wisdom. Now, those are general principles. Even people who aren't Christians can apply these things and become a little wiser. But real wisdom, true wisdom, apart from God, doesn't exist. Because you have to take God into account when you are making wise decisions. It is foolish, in fact the Bible says this, to act and live as though God doesn't exist. The fool says in his heart, there is no God. That's a fool. So without acknowledging and coming under and surrendering to God himself, there's no really true source of wisdom, because you have to take into account God if you're going to deal with life as it is. Does this make any sense? Because God made you. You are a creature created by God. There are people who don't even believe that. So what does that do? That gives them they look at life differently, as though life is all about them, when actually it's all about God. You're just one of his creations. So what does this imply? That you need to find out what he made you for. You need to learn how he has made things to work, how things are to operate, how you're to live in his world. And if you ignore God, you won't know. So if you're going to gain wisdom, you have to go to the source. And the real source of wisdom is God himself. So look at James chapter 1. James chapter 1. Are we there yet? Okay, James 1, it says this. If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault. It will be given to him. Okay? So what is it saying here? You need to go to God for wisdom. If you need wisdom, he is the source for wisdom. Now later on in this portion of scripture, I'm going to turn to it because I only wrote the verse 5 down, but James chapter 1 talks about again this wisdom, that you have to approach it in a certain way. It says, but when you ask him, be sure that you really expect him to answer, for a doubtful mind is an unsettled as a wave of the sea and is driven and tossed by the wind. So you have to come to him with faith. When you come to God to ask wisdom, you have to believe that he will respond to your request and your need for wisdom. Now, that sounds pretty simple, but how many times do we approach even the Bible without faith? Because here's the first thing you need to realize. You gain wisdom when you read God's word. God's word speaks. It's God speaking. If you want to come to God and gain wisdom from him, you have to go to the source of where he will give you this wisdom. And the source that we have is God's word. So when you come to God's word and you read God's word, you first of all have to come in faith, believing that God will speak to you. How many of you have approached the Bible in a different way? That it is just a book to read, or a book that just has great information. When you approach it that way, you won't receive all that God wants you to have. You're approaching the Bible as an ordinary book. This is not an ordinary book. This is God's word, inspired by the Holy Spirit, used by the Holy Spirit to convict and convince and teach us the ways of God. So when you come to his word, when you come to the Proverbs, you say, Lord, teach me. I believe you will give me wisdom as I read this. I believe you will speak to me, and I'm going to be receptive with my ears open to hear what you might say to me. And you say, I believe that this will be true because you promised it. And you'll have a different experience with God's word. You'll have a greater understanding, because God the Holy Spirit will answer that prayer and help you to understand. There are other scriptures in Corinthians that talks about we can't even understand the things of God unless the Holy Spirit will help us to understand. if you have a regular, normal mind, a carnal mind, it doesn't understand these things. In fact, it rejects these things. It sees these things as not quite making sense or kind of silly. So you have to approach it with faith that God will be speaking to you. And there are two kinds of wisdom that we find in the world. There is worldly wisdom and godly wisdom. Worldly wisdom and godly wisdom. You'll see this in the scriptures also, where it talks about worldly wisdom and the aspects or characteristics of worldly wisdom. It's the wisdom you get from the world, world systems, and not necessarily from God himself and his word. So you want to focus on godly wisdom. Now, how many of you believe everything that the television has? You listen and watch the television, you go, hey, that's true, it's on the TV. No, we don't do that. Well, how many of you believe everything you read in the newspaper? How about radio? What about the Bible? Okay. Then why do we spend more time watching TV, listening to the radio, reading newspapers, all these other things, and very rarely go to the Bible? That's not very wise. So we want to treasure God's word, treasure the wisdom of God. That's one of the aspects that we'll find in the book of Proverbs, is your approach, your attitude about the Word of God, about the wisdom of God. It is valuable, extremely valuable. But we don't always see that. But God wants to speak to our lives so that we might be able to make wise decisions. I remember when I was really young, I came to the resolution that I want to invest my life in things that are going to last a long time. They don't change from week to week, year to year. And what I found out is that those things are the things of God. So if you invest your life in things that are not that way, you'll find that your life is going to be, you're always going to be following whatever the culture might be doing. And you'll be following people that seem to have it all together, but you don't know yet because their life isn't finished. The circumstances of their life aren't fully known yet. And if wisdom, you follow wisdom instead, you'll find that what it says about life is reliable. And you'll find that your life is more stable, more secure, avoids more problems, has greater sense of peace because of this. And I would say many of you agree with me on that. So here's another way to, again, apply wisdom in your life, gain wisdom, is you do what it says. You do what it says. Proverbs 7, 1 and 2. Follow my advice, my son. Always treasure my commands. Obey them and live. Guard my teachings as your most precious possession. There's that value again. The way you approach these things is that they're precious. Your most valuable possession, precious possession. And you have to follow the advice, he says. Always treasure my commands. Again, is that added to it. And obey them. So these two are tied together. Following, treasure. Obey, precious possession. Did you notice the pattern there? They're tied together. If you don't think they're precious, if you don't think they're a treasure, you probably won't follow them. You probably won't obey them. So coming and approaching with that attitude is very important if you're going to gain wisdom. Because if you don't put it into practice, it does you no good. In James chapter 1, verse 22, it says, "Do not deceive yourselves by just listening to his word. Instead, put it into practice." That's a New Testament version of the same truth. So, there's a danger in reading the Bible. We're doing some very dangerous things right now. Did you know that? You're participating in something that's very dangerous right now. I just wanted to warn you. The danger is that you might deceive yourself. You mean I'm coming to church to deceive myself? What's this about? Well, here's the deal. It says here, if you're just listening, there's the danger of deception. Now, how's that true? See, a lot of Christians come to church and they think they're doing something that's very important, which it is, and they are listening to God's word. But, and I'll confess, I'm one of these people who have had this happen and done this in the past. As I've listened to it, I thought, oh, that was interesting. I believe that. That's good. Ooh, wow, that was great. Yes. Then after I leave the service, it mysteriously disappears. And I can't recall it. I just know that it was good. It's so embarrassing to say, have someone say, "So how was church this morning?" "Oh, it was good." "So what did he talk about?" "It's the Bible." "I know that. So what did we talk about in the Bible?" "It was just so I can't even cover it all." "You didn't remember anything he said, did you?" "Yeah, that's right. I didn't. I don't know, I remember a thing he said." The danger is that you think by coming to church, listening, that something happened. That there was something that took place in transforming you, making you more like Christ, becoming a better Christian by just coming to church. It's not how much you know that gives you wisdom. It's what you put into practice that will make you wise. How many of you have heard of people who know a lot about the Bible, but their life is a mess? They can quote verses. They can tell you, they could preach sermons to you about what they heard. They remember all kinds of information, but they've never practiced it. They actually think that they know what they're talking about. Now, we never think that way when we come to other areas of life. We don't read a book on boating and say, "I'm an expert sailman, a sailor." Or we don't read a book on building homes and say, "Hey, I'm putting my thing on my door saying contractor. Hire me. I know I read a book." It isn't the same. There's something that takes place. In fact, the Bible, when it talks about knowing stuff, it's assuming that you've experienced it too. Knowing by experience. There's experience and head knowledge combined. We have a lot of Christians that just have a lot of head knowledge, but they've never really put it into practice. So that's why we have to approach this very seriously, and we have to have it stick. So I think it's really important that in order to do what it says, you have to know what it says. And to know what it says, you might have to think about it a little while. Have you noticed if you think about things for a while, they remain a little bit longer with you? In fact, even if you have to memorize the Bible, that will be very helpful for you to retain the things of the Bible. Now, that's something that I should do more myself. because I find that I don't know, have enough of the Bible memorized. Now, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but I think some of you have the same need. We as a church need to know the scriptures, have them committed to memory so that they can be there, so that we can use them, and so that we can apply them and obey them. So the final thing is that in order to get wisdom, you not only need to go to the source of wisdom, go to God. You not only have to do that and learn from Him, but you have to do what it says. And then you also have to get to know God personally. You need to get to know Him. In Proverbs 1:7 it says, "How does a person become wise? The first step is to trust and revere the Lord." Proverbs 9:10 says, "Fear the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Knowledge of the Holy One results in understanding." It's knowing God, and that means that you have a personal relationship with Him. So you come to God, and you have to, when you come to Him, you have to have a relationship with Him in order to gain wisdom. It comes through a relationship with God. Notice that verse in chapter 9. Turn this with me to this verse. Chapter 9, verse 10 of Proverbs. It says this again, "Fear the Lord. The fear of the Lord is beginning of wisdom. Knowledge of the Holy One results in understanding." You need to circle fear. That word fear is an important, that's an action word. Something you need to do. It is a starting point for wisdom. Fear. Who are you fearing? What are you, you don't usually think of fear with a relationship with God. Usually, as Christians, we think of love. So when we think about God, God loves me. He's not someone I should fear. He's someone who loves me. Well, that's partly true, but not all true, because it says here, the fear of the Lord is an ingredient that's necessary for wisdom. Fearing God, it doesn't mean that you're always worried that He's going to punish you, like He's an angry God that's just waiting to be ticked off. And you have to walk around really carefully because you never know when He might just go off on you. That's not the fear we're talking about. We're talking a healthy respect for God, a sense of reverence for God. That includes fear. Because He is God and you're not. He is much greater than you. And because He's greater and has more power, He is someone to take seriously. So when I talk about fear, it's really just taking the things of God, taking God Himself seriously. He's not your buddy. He's not the big guy upstairs. He is the Creator who made you, and one day whom you're going to have to stand in front of and give an account for your life. So when we look at this gaining of wisdom and getting to know Him, you have to approach Him in the way He is. He is, to know the real God is to know who He is and who He reveals Himself to be, and He is the God to be feared and to be revered and to be respected. And so that includes coming to a place where you submit to Him. You submit to Him and you trust Him. There's another verse in Colossians 1:21. It says this, "Since the world in all its fancy wisdom never had a clue when it came to knowing God, God in his wisdom took delight in using what the world considers dumb, preaching of all things, to bring those who trust him into the way of salvation. The wisdom of man will never gain the wisdom of God. You cannot approach God from a worldly way and gain wisdom. You have to approach him from the perspective of fear and knowing that he is sovereign, that he is all-powerful, and that he is someone that you come to through what God has revealed. And this is explained here in 1 Corinthians chapter 1:21, through preaching of the gospel. This gospel is the power of God. It is the wisdom of God. Now, when a person preaches the gospel, he preaches about who Jesus is. Jesus, in 1 Corinthians 1:24, it says here, "But to those called by God to salvation, both Jews and Gentiles, Christ is the mighty power of God and the wonderful wisdom of God." Jesus is the wisdom of God. All wisdom resides in him. He's the only wise God. So if I'm going to get to know God and come into relationship with him, I have to come through Jesus Christ. And as I come to know Jesus Christ by faith, I look at the scriptures, the source of wisdom, and I see his life too. And I see how a wise God lives. He is God in the flesh. God wanted to reveal himself to us and show himself to us so that when we came and look at the scriptures, we can see God in a way that we understand. He reveals God in the flesh so that we can relate to him. Now, if he came and he wanted to reach ants, he'd become an ant. If he wanted to reach the animals, he'd become an animal. But he came as a man because he wanted to reach human beings so he could communicate to us. So as I look at this whole thing about getting to know God, it's a big subject and I'm trying to shrink it down, but it comes to knowing God through Jesus Christ. It's a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And as we get to know Jesus, and as he teaches us by his Spirit what the scriptures mean, we gain more wisdom and gain more understanding. And I think one other concept, I may write this down, I think this is really important. Submission. In order to become wise, you have to submit to God. That means you have to recognize that he's in charge. Because there'll be a times when you won't understand yet the ways of God. It won't all make sense sometimes. And you'll just have to go on what he says and believe that he knows what he's talking about and that the direction that he gives you is the true and the right direction for your life. And submission is needed for that. We submit to him because he is God, and we're not. He's in charge, we're not. Now, I have some homework for you this morning. So get out your pencils and pens and write this down. Okay? I want you to read a chapter of Proverbs a day. Read a chapter a day to keep foolishness away, okay? So read a chapter of Proverbs a day. And in 30 days, you'll have an overview of what the Proverbs is about. Now, as you read it, you'll find something that's going to be interesting. This is going to be one of the reasons why we'll approach it this way. That as you go from chapter 10 to 31, you'll find a proverb here speaking about a certain subject, and then the very next verse there's another proverb that speaks about a totally different subject, And then you read another verse, it's a different subject. Then you read this verse here, and it's like the subject up here, but it's a little different. And there's no way to really... When they give you a commentary or a preaching series on Proverbs, it's very difficult to deal with, because you can just do the chapter, and then you go back, and there's some other things that you should have covered that fit with the first part, you know, and it gets all confusing. So what we're going to do when we approach this is that we're going to go topically, okay? We're going to try to organize these Proverbs in certain topics. So where it talks about how, you know, what to do with your mouth, I mean your speech, the way you talk, or how to deal with anger, or how to deal with your boss, or how to deal with your marriage, and how to deal with these circumstances, we'll try to organize it in that way so that we can have it all that the book of Proverbs might have to say on that subject matter. So here's what I would like you to do, another part of your homework. Write all the verses that you find on certain topics. Let's say, for instance, as you're reading, you see this one topic that's dealing with foolishness. And you go, that is very interesting. So as you read, I want you to start putting a category, foolishness. And as you read each day, you find another verse on foolishness, you put that verse number in there. And I want you to try to make a topical Bible for yourself on the book of Proverbs. Does this make sense? Do you understand what I'm saying here? So as you're reading that chapter, you see a couple things you like, make those things, you make them a topic. So if it has to do with parenting, you write parenting, you go, I'm going to look for parenting verses. So as I read this chapter next week, I'm looking for, there's another verse on work. I got to make that another topic. Put that up there. And you make a notebook, a topical Bible for yourself on the book of Proverbs, okay? And you're going to find there could be more topics than we'll cover on Sunday. So you're going to be wiser than the pastor after your study, okay? Let's close in prayer. Father, we thank you this morning for your word, the wisdom of God. Father, we ask that you would help us now to approach it in faith, in submission to you, with a healthy respect and fear for you, Lord. Honoring you, valuing your word and your promises in the Proverbs, Lord. We pray, Lord, that you'd make us wise so that we might know how to navigate life as you have designed it, as you've made it to be navigated. We thank you, Lord. And we pray these things in your name. Amen.